Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
How to get rich in the hair business by Kerry Hines. When I think about this amazing book, I think back to when I was writing this book. Back in about 2013, maybe a little earlier, I had met with one of the graphic folks and one of the persons who was helping us to kind of get Hair Radio back on track. And I was focused on doing a live meetup event called the Legends, working with the Legends event back then, honoring the Legends. And so I needed a book to kind of be the linchpin for the live hair event. And so here comes this fella to help me pull it together. His name's Anthony. And I did not do the cover at that time. I was not designing graphics, had no interest in that at the time, and it was my job to write the book, and I had to pretty much get it done quickly so that it would be available when we launched our live Legends event, honoring the legends of the hair industry in different fields. And so now, scan ahead, the book is celebrating about 10 years of being in release and has been a very critical part of a person, who is just looking to add funds to the bottom line. That's what the book was, the crux of the book, and certainly, how to get rich in the hair business. The title alone makes you aware that if that's what you're looking for, these are the steps that you need to take. And where it leads you to is no other place but to be successful. But again, this is how to get rich in the hair business, and I'm honored to be working on a brand new follow-up book that will help you to take you beyond. So I'm super excited, and in honor of the 10th anniversary of the How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book, we will re-release it along with a brand new edition. So lots more to come, and just stay tuned.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We are making black progress. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hinds is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to RuggedEvo.com. That's RuggedEvo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show, the number one hair and beauty radio show worldwide, and the longest-running hair and beauty radio show.
The moment you put a stop to people disrespecting and taking advantage of you is the moment they label you as difficult, crazy, and selfish. Crazy and selfish as you need to be. Manipulation hates boundaries. Protect your peace. Be a blessing.
That I have profited more from the negative as opposed to the positive.
Really?
Yes, because...
Negative experiences?
Yes, absolutely. I really relish and treasure them more than positive. Because if I have been able to survive it and reach another level, that has given me more growth, more strength, more confidence.
Yes.
It has enriched my life more, and that's why I treasure them.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. I have a very special guest co-host joining me on the line right now. It is my great honor and pleasure to welcome back the one and only Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Head Heart. Good morning, Mary, and welcome back to the show.
Awesome. Good morning, Carrie. This is like super day. Every day is super day if you choose it to be.
Well, this is true. It's a super day, just to wake on up, everybody. And that's a good way to say we're happy that you wake up with us here at the broadcast each morning. So now listen, Mary, I want to kind of jump right on in. It's about recognizing the amazing legacy of the one and only Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. What do you have for us this morning?
Well, you know, there's at least 10 things we're going to talk about today. Let's say
wow.
10 things right. that people should know about Martin Luther King Jr. How's
awesome.
That?
Awesome. Let's say that. 10 things that you should know about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Okay, awesome. I am ready for number 10. I thought I knew everything, so I should be pretty good at this. Dr. Martin
well,
Luther King's legacy.
And that's the thing. Most people do. Yeah, most people. I mean, he's been with us in spirit for
right.
many, many years.
Just, yeah.
But
right.
there's a lot of information. Everybody thinks they know everything, but I just want to make sure you know these things. Right?
Ooh, okay. So these are 10 things we should know about. Wow, okay.
Yes, yes. So number one in my mind is that
let's start with number 10, right? Or are you saying the most important thing? But yeah, let's count it down. We're going to count it down for you guys out there.
All right. Martin Luther King is one of only two Americans, right, that has a holiday named after them. And the only other person, well, whose birthday.
Hold on, let me see if I can guess. You said Dr. King is one of only two individuals, I would imagine, who actually has whose birthday is a holiday. I'm going to have to say it is, I want to say George Washington.
Ding, 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 ding.
Was that,
yes.
is that right?
So, yes,
wow.
George Washington and Martin Luther King. That's it. Whose birthdays are national holidays. Yes. And it wasn't easy. Well overdue. You've heard the birthday song, right?
Right.
Our birthday song.
Happy birthday song. The old happy birthday song, happy birthday to you. Are you talking about the Stevie Wonder version? That's the Stevie version.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So they had tried many, many, many times to get his birthday recognized, but it didn't work. So after his passing, actually, Stevie Wonder, he had written the birthday song already, right? He wrote the birthday song. And so Stevie Wonder and Coretta Scott King, which can we say this is a fact within a fact? If you don't know who Coretta Scott King is, please tell them, Carrie, who Coretta Scott King is.
Then you need to hand back your card if you don't know who Coretta. Coretta was the incredibly brilliant partner, certainly to Dr. Martin Luther King. She was his wife. And her legacy is that amazing as well. She was an amazing legend all by herself. This was a great partnership for the ages.
Yes. So great musician, Stevie Wonder, and excellent, most adoring and talented and skilled wife, Coretta Scott King, went around the country on a tour singing this song over and over, you know, happy birthday to you. And dare I not sing, but they went, did a tour. And while they were doing this tour of the music, they were also collecting signatures, right? So in the end of that 4 months, they delivered over 6 million signatures saying that they wanted his birthday to be recognized as a national holiday. And obviously they succeeded.
That is amazing. I remember a lot of that too. During my day, it was just incredible. Incredible. And now it's hard to think that there was a time, Mary, that it was not the holiday, that it didn't exist as a holiday. It's hard to think of that because we've grown accustomed to it so much at this point, and so very valid.
His wife and Stevie Wonder got out there and they did the work
delivered
those. Got the petition and submitted it. And that's why we
that's
have
how it,
it
became,
so
yeah.
We got
that's
it.
Right. And we remember those days. I remember that. I remember that very well. Well, I am so grateful and I am so, so thankful to you, Mary, for sharing these little known facts, I call them, little factoids about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the celebration. How wonderful is that? So that's number 10. Awesome. Okay, I've given them numbers. And number 9, okay. Mary, on your countdown on things we should know about Dr. Martin Luther King, what else have you got for us?
How about, let's see, we're on number 9. What was
his
name at birth?
Yeah. Now, this one I know only because I just recently found out. But what I did notice is that other folks knew this, and I did not know this until a few days ago, literally. So I'm going to say his name, I believe his first name was Michael. But what I don't know is, okay, well, what exactly is the story, or when did he become Martin instead of Michael? I still don't know the story behind it. Do you happen to know that,
well,
Mary?
I have the popular story, which is not quite matching what I saw in the book, The Three Mothers, which was about the mothers of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and we were talking about this artisan the other day. Our writers, one of our great, great writers and artisans. I'm walking literally in my house and pulling out my book, James Baldwin, right? But that's a wonderful read if anybody gets to it. Yes.
Yes.
But
James Baldwin.
I'm
going to
give you the popular story.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you the popular story. The popular story is that he was born and given the name Michael. He's from a line, he was a third generation during that type of thing. But his father, the minister Michael, went to overseas, and he was talking with and impressed by the Lutheran community, and their leader was, and he, you know, long deceased, but their leader was Martin Luther. So he was studying all of this, and he was really impressed. So he came back, changed his name as well as his son's name to Martin. So Martin Luther King Jr.
That's how it worked. Okay.
Yeah, and Martin at that point was only 5 years old. And even through life, this is part of what's in The Three Mothers, through life they called him Michael, like his close friends and family. They called him Michael still.
Wow.
But his name was officially changed by his father.
That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. I've always wondered that.
Yep. Well, number 8, if you're ready. This
oh,
is for
of course.
Everybody, everybody who just doesn't believe that, you know, they're any good, if they've ever been in the pokey or if they've ever experienced trouble with the law and that type of thing. Martin Luther
folks
King
in need of
has
a second
been in
chance,
jail.
It sounds like.
Oh,
well,
even more than second chances. He
oh
was arrested at least. Oh, well, one time he got arrested in Alabama for driving 30 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone. Right?
Huh.
Oh, we get tickets. We shouldn't get arrested. So in those types of things even happened to Martin Luther King. But he didn't let
wow.
it stop him. He pressed on.
He pressed
right?
on. Well, you just mentioned about
on.
That. They stopped. There was the big case where the lady stopped a young black man, the Caucasian policewoman, stopped the young black man because of his tail light and his rear view mirror, I believe.
Minneapolis.
Yeah,
oh,
and ended
yeah.
up killing him. She thought she had picked up her taser, according to her story.
Well,
and
you know, if she had
the
wherewithal to say, taser, 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 very obvious in the video, she said it three times. She had the wherewithal to know it was not a taser.
No, well, there are a whole lot of circumstances and situations with it, and I don't, for me, I think justice was served, so I'm very
absolutely.
Happy about that, and I believe, you know, it doesn't bring the young man back, and God, how awful it is. Just awful. Mm-hmm. So, but that mm-hmm. reminds me of that, Mary. So, Dr. King, you're right, and he pressed on, and so must we. So, listen, let
yes.
me just remind everybody, folks, if you're just joining us here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, it is my great honor to have you with us. We are paying tribute to the amazing legacy of the one and only Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and it is, as always, it's a pleasure to have my guest co-host join us on this episode, really, on these episodes, really. It is the one and only. She's from Hair, Head, Heart. You guys know Mary Reed Johnson. Mary, again, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast. We're happy.
Absolutely. And I'm not doing it fully in order, but I'm doing it kind of in... like from young years up to what we know as the icon.
Well, listen, it sounds awesome to me. So I think you are at about number 7, if I'm not mistaken. I think number 7.
Yes, yes.
So okay.
What do you think Martin Luther King was doing when he was about 13 years old?
Ooh, okay. Let's see, 13. I'm going to say he was leading a congregation. I could be wrong.
Not quite yet. He was raised in the church, and he was, you know, being.
Oh, okay, that was an easy one for him. Do I get one more guess?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, I'll say he was singing in the choir.
People, what do regular people do when they're like 13?
That's a tough one. At 13, you're just play. You don't even think of anything. You're not thinking of anything, are you? I don't remember thinking of anything at 13.
Well, not that much, but again, he was being groomed for some stuff. But people need to work. And Martin Luther King,
oh, he had a job?
Actually, he had a job. He was a paper boy.
Wow. Oh,
yep.
You know, and it's awful to not know that because I also was a paper boy. Now, see, had you framed that Mary Reed Johnson as what was your first job or his, I would have realized. But, no, I did not think of it that way. But I'll tell you, that was my first job. And I was actually probably a little younger than that. But I remember I was a paper boy also. So that is inspiring. I didn't even know we had that in common.
Yes, it's like he was a regular guy who turned into an icon with some misogyny,
wow.
you know? So,
wow.
So,
well,
yes, he delivered the Atlantic Journal at age 13. So.
Oh, that's out
but,
of an...
You know,
oh, I've been in that, mentioned in the Atlanta Journal. We call it AJC now, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, out of Atlanta area. Is that the same newspaper?
I'm thinking so, but I would have
to
look at
I remember that. Okay, well, it sounds pretty good to me. Good job, Mary.
Yes, his parents did a great job.
Awesome.
So he's doing that at 13. Guess what he did by the time he was 15?
I'm wondering what on earth, what was left? Fly to the moon. I mean, he was so incredible. I'm going to guess that at 15, I'll say he started a church.
Not quite.
I'm going to keep saying it until I get that right.
He's still being baked in the oven. You want one more?
Okay.
You can guess.
I'll say that he got married.
Oh, nope, he's a little young for that. But he was kind of getting in that realm. He actually started Morehouse when he was 15.
Get out of here.
Yep.
Dr. King was a genius.
Yep. It's so interesting because he, I think, skipped, I want to say, 12th and 7th grade, something like that. But he was in college by the time he was 15.
Wow. That is amazing. Now that is incredible.
He skipped 9th grade and 12th grade. That's what it was. Yes.
Wow. No, he was so smart. You could just tell.
Well,
he was just an incredibly smart person.
Yeah, so look at our young people. And while we, don't believe what the world says about them. They can start young and do great things or be at least moving towards greatness. They can develop the skills, but we have to guide them. I'm sure he didn't wake up when he was 12 and say, I think I'll go to Morehouse tomorrow. That took some massaging from his background and his parents.
Absolutely.
So, we have to take that responsibility and guide our young people and not just berate them or talk about the negatives that media would have us believe about them.
Absolutely. So leadership sounds very, very important with all of this.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
Now,
well, Mary, you are killing it. Okay, folks.
I'm
loving this.
Who wouldn't love them some Martin? So
yes.
We are on number six, five?
I think we're up to five now. I'm counting
all right,
five. Wow.
All right. So, he went to school, and did he just get one degree? We know he's a theologian, so we know he got some
right.
kind of Baptist something somewhere, right? He didn't
True.
Just go to one school, by the way. Yeah. So for those
I
of you who are in college, those of you who are in college and not making it work in one place, he went to several schools, but at the end of the primary education. He had a sociology degree.
Hmm.
He had a theology degree.
Wow.
Right? And that's through the Baptist ministers, theology training, that type of stuff. And one other, but he, had those two as his primary base, the sociology and theology degrees.
Wow.
So,
Dr. Martin Luther King was nothing to sneeze at.
I think the other one was Boston University. He got his PhD. So
unreal, Mary. What good information? Good information.
Well,
thank you
so
much.
These are things people should know.
We should know
about
Dr. King. Yeah,
and
some I do, but this I'm learning today.
Well, I'm going to throw in something that everybody should be very, very aware of, and this is number four.
Awesome.
That, yes, he has he's one of only two people with the national holiday, but a lot of people get confused with his national holiday birthday recognition and Black History Month birthday in January.
Right.
Black History Month is February. So be very clear on those things. Well, I just want people to be clear and not get complacent and forget these very, very, very important things.
I think I have
so
a
Black
theory
History
on
Month.
This. Yes.
What is, tell me.
I think I have a theory on this, Mary. I thought about this, you know, why folks might tend to confuse Dr. King's birthday celebration. First of all, there's his actual birthday. Then there is his celebration birthday. And then Black History Month. So those are three things.
Right.
And
right.
So his birthday, his actual birthday that we celebrate every year is January 15th. And his holiday is celebrated the third Monday in January. And then
correct.
Right after that, on the heels of that, comes February, which is just a coincidence. And that's Black History Month is celebrated, of course, in February. So then
yeah.
you have a lot of large, and I've noticed this in the past, a lot of large organizations or outfits who, you know, they will grab and they will, you know, mention about Dr. King again as part of their Black History celebration because he was so... you know, so incredibly important to the very fabric of that. So that's why. So for it's great because it's kind of like we've extended, but because February needed
yes.
to be a little longer anyway.
Absolutely.
In terms of that.
So I'm not saying don't recognize it all, but just know that they are distinctly different.
Yes.
And so we had January, we had February, and now let's go to this is a hint for. Some things he's known for. So what's
okay.
the next month?
March. Oh, the March
right.
on Washington.
Yes.
Am I good, Mary?
So, you are very good. But you know what? The March on Washington, we're going to get to. But there was another pilgrimage. No,
oh, okay.
absolutely. That he was first. Do you know? Okay, so the March on Washington was 1963, and we're going to come back to that.
Okay.
There was another march that he was part of, another group that he was part of, and it was his first national address. And that was like 7 years before that. It was
really?
It was, yes, 1957.
Maybe the boycott. Was it?
It
the...
was, nope. It, nope.
Oh, what?
This
was
May 17th, 1957. Write it down. He was
okay.
part of the prayer pilgrimage for freedom.
Oh,
and
I
the
don't
topic
think I knew
that,
that
he discussed or the topic that he talked about was voting. And his title of his speech
mm.
was Give Us the Ballot. And that was
mm.
his very first national address.
Well, he could be very much making that same address today.
Absolutely.
What an incredible piece of information that I was totally unaware of. Folks, let me just bring up the speed if you're just joining us. I'm Carrie Hines. I'm on the line with the amazing Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Head Heart. She's our amazing guest coordinator and guest co-host this morning. And boy, this is really a very special, special broadcast right here, talking about 10 things that you should know about Dr. Martin Luther King. And I have to tell you, I don't know if I would be passing too well this morning on this. I know a few of them. But I'm learning. I'm learning along the way. I had no idea about that. That is incredible. Incredible
yeah.
stuff, Mary.
So,
good job. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I didn't do it. He did it. And
no, but
you know,
it's good that we know these things.
Yes, I think so. Because it's great that they highlight, you know, really – important nuggets of his life, but if we dig, and you don't have to dig very deep, it's there, and he's just so much more rich and, you know, normal on some levels than us. I mean, it's the things that he did were iconic and blessings to millions, but part of his life, he was a regular person just developing. And I think that if you know that, then that maybe gives you hope to do more or at
Absolutely.
Least continue to do the right things.
Absolutely. Well, I am super hyped.
Groovy. So we'll continue with March since you mentioned it. Number
yes.
three. Ready?
Yes. I'm ready.
All right. And so that was the March on Washington. And it was supposed to be a peaceful march. It was a peaceful march. I don't know how many attended, but it was a big, big, big thing. And he did that famous march on the Capitol steps in Washington, 1963.
Wow. Amazing. It's hard to believe it was that long ago. That's amazing.
I know. It kind of is. I think of other icons that, you know, this year, one of my favorites, Muhammad Ali, he would be 80 this year.
Yes, which is still not, you know, it's
still,
not really, yes, not really old, not these days. 80 is the new 70. And so there are a lot of 80-year-olds, like you, when you think of, you know, Jane Fonda, she's still thriving. And so many others out there. And look at the, you know, Betty White, who went all the way to almost 100, and Sidney Poitier and all these folks. So, yeah, you know, they're hanging in there these days. So Dr. Martin Luther King would have been, he would have been in his, what, I think about 90 or so. He would have been in that ballpark somewhere. But good things, Mary Reed Johnson. I'm loving your countdown. Again, it's 10 things that we should know about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I'm also phrasing it this way, 10 things that you probably thought you knew, but you didn't. And we're learning.
Yes, yes. So you mentioned something about aging and health and that type of stuff. So I'm going to mention some things in these last few that people tried to take him out of here. Like, do you know who Isola Ware Curry is? Or
no. No
Isola
idea
Curry?
What that even is or what.
Okay. So they described her, when I say they, I say media and government, described her as a mentally ill woman. All right. Mm. But she actually was in a crowd at a book signing, and she asked him, you know, make sure who he was. But she stabbed him with a 7-inch letter opener.
Oh, I think I did hear of this. Now, what was the significance of her doing this? It's just that she was mentally ill, and she just, you know, because you don't need a reason if you're mentally ill sometimes.
Right.
So,
well, that was part of it. And another part of it, she was blaming him for her losing jobs and, you know, these types of things. But the story just doesn't jive with me. But whatever it is, she was not successful in that attempt. And I won't say she didn't serve any time in jail, but she ended up her days pretty much in a nursing home in Jamaica, Queens. She lived to be like 98. Yeah, she lived to be 98. And so, and actually, I don't know if it was 2021 that she passed, but it wasn't that long ago. But Miss Isola is gone. She tried, but that wasn't his time to go. They
not
she
at that time.
Got him right near his aorta, and they.
So he was lucky to live through that.
Yes, they said if he had so much as sneezed or coughed, he would
that
not.
That would
be
have been
there.
It. Isn't that something? So, you know,
so,
just sad stuff. Dr. King had, you know, his significance to the world is incredible, but he had a very difficult, as they say, folks who have so many gifts and are meant to touch the world in the way that they do usually, like the incredibly talented, have kind of a hard way to go in many cases. And, you know, and we just have to celebrate their legacies for those who have passed on and just continue the work that they started. And I think that's what we're doing here today in this remembrance of the amazing Dr. Martin Luther King. 10 things you should know. Okay, Mary, what else have you got for us? We should be down to the last two.
Yes. So along those lines of health and whatnot, and my mention earlier of the Three Mothers, a book that everybody should get about Martin Luther King's mother, Malcolm X's mother, and James Baldwin, actually their whole family and what shaped them. But there was another person who, 6 years after Martin had passed, he went into the church. Martin's mother was playing the piano, just minding her own business, doing what she did, and this man shot her, and did not live through that. She shot her just while she was playing the organ at church. So this person also passed away supposedly of a stroke while he was in Jackson, Georgia prison or jail, just, you know, days after his mother was, So
just really sad.
He was out of the way. I'm not even going to say his name because he's
no, we don't need to hear it.
Okay. We were talking about the March on Washington, too. We'll go back. Do you know originally that March on Washington on the slate of speakers and participants, originally there were no women involved or included in that march?
Really?
Mm-hmm. But that one of the organizers was a woman, and she spoke up, and long story short, there were changes. But originally it was going to be a man thing.
Well, maybe that's where later, way later, that March on Washington, where it was turned into the Million Man March and kind of in that vein and celebration. Wow. And that might have been the genesis of that. So incredible uncovering.
I believe so. But thank goodness that, you know, and women always take your power, use it. Don't be in a box. You know, they need us. So we need to speak up and do all the great things that we do as well.
Well, absolutely. Yes. Well, women, great stuff. And I have to say, I'm just blown away with all of this. And before you get to the final item on your amazing list of 10 things you should know about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I just want to say, Mary Reed Johnson, you bring us these wonderful updates. You bring us the countdowns. You are always instrumental whenever there's special program happening, special programming happening at the Hair Radio Morning Show, the HairRadio.com network, our streaming network, whatever we're doing. You bring these great tidbits of information I call factoids. And we are so honored. So before we get to number one, I want to take a moment, Mary. You have got to tell everybody, because this is a big question. Whenever you're on the air and I mention Hair Head Heart, folks say, what is Hair Head Heart? Can you tell us real quickly what Hair Head Heart is all about? And then we're on to number one on your countdown.
All right. Thank you, Carrie. Well, generically, I will say Hair Head Heart is a consulting agency. We deal with issues that relate to those things, hair, head, and heart. I'm a service provider. I'm licensed as an instructor and cosmetologist in Michigan and Minnesota. I absolutely help people online or in person develop their business, develop standards, all these types of things. And then the heart is the passion related to these, as well as actual safety bends that I have related to these things. So I do things that improve those things related to hair, head, and heart.
And you bring a lot of that right to the Hair Radio Morning Show with your great guest co-hosting. So thank you, Mary. Thank you so much, Mary Reed Johnson, Hair, Head, Heart. Okay, now what you've been waiting for. Number one.
Do I get a drum roll here?
You get a drum roll. Yes, you do. There you go. I think we have one somewhere. But, yes, you get a drum roll. And we're excited to know. I can't even imagine what is the number one item that I don't know about Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. But we're going to see. Go right ahead, Mary. Okay,
you might know this,
see.
But I tell you that everyone who has seen anything about Bloody Sunday from 1965, where they started off a peaceful march, and it was crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and it turned it gained national attention because it was so unnecessarily brutal and ridiculous that we got some things changed, and we have to thank Dr. King, Mr. Lewis, Senator Lewis, and this whole host
John
of
Lewis,
people
right.
who walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And do you know that walk was only, it should have been a 10-minute walk. I've actually walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and people still can. Can walk across it in like 10 minutes, but it turned into a whole national change.
It was a big thing.
Item. And so we cannot think about that walk without thinking and thanking Dr. Martin Luther King. So these are some things I think you should know.
Absolutely. And Mary, before we sign off on Dr. Martin Luther King's remembrance on this broadcast, I have to ask you, what does Dr. King's legacy mean to you? And then I'll share mine.
Well, everything. It's like you just start where you are and keep growing and keep doing and keep moving. Don't stop. So he is a full inspiration for me.
Awesome. And for me, I have to say, everything that I do is based on the framework that of Dr. King's legacy. It is just something that we must always remember. It's not just something that we pull out of a drawer once a year and then tuck it back away, after, the days have gone on. We must continue to keep his legacy relevant. And that has to come from all of us and each of us. And just by taking a moment to air this on today's broadcast means that we're doing just that at the Hair Radio Morning Show and hairradio.com and our platforms.
Yes,
so
he's
I'm
not
Terry
just
Hines.
An icon.
Yes.
He's a lifestyle.
Okay. Well, I'm loving that, Mary. Again, I'm Gary Hines with the one and only Mary Reed Johnson here at heart with us today, and we'll see you back here next time. Great job, Mary. Thank you.
How to Get Rich in the Hair Business by Gary Hines. When I think about this amazing book, I think back to when I was writing this book back in about 2013, maybe a little earlier. I had met with one of the graphic folks and one of the persons who was helping us to kind of get Hair Radio back on track. And I was focused on doing a live meetup event called the Legends, working with the Legends event back then, honoring the Legends. And so I needed a book to kind of be the linchpin for the live hair event. And so here comes this fella to help me pull it together. His name's Anthony. And I did not do the cover at that time. I was not designing graphics. I had no interest in that at the time. And it was my job to write the book. And I had to pretty much get it done quickly so that it would be available when we launched our live Legends event, honoring the legends of the hair industry in different fields. And so now, scan ahead, the book is celebrating about 10 years of being in release and has been a very critical part of a person, you know, who is just looking to add funds to the bottom line. That's what the book was, the crux of the book, and certainly, you know, how to get rich in the hair business. The title alone makes you aware that if that's what you're looking for, these are the steps that you need to take. And where it leads you to is no other place but to be successful. But again, this is how to get rich in the hair business. And I'm honored to be working on a brand new follow-up book that will help you to take you beyond. So I'm super excited, and in honor of the 10th anniversary of the How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book, we will re-release it along with a brand new edition. So lots more to come, and just stay tuned.
Everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show, the number one hair and beauty radio show worldwide and the longest running hair and beauty radio show.
Show. It is our actual mid-show time, so the second hour, a little after 7 in the morning New York time, 6 if you're in Central, like my co-star. Of course, we're talking about Nicole Marie out of Water Valley. That's WV Mississippi. Good morning, Nicole Marie. Happy mid-show.
Happy mid-show. Happy Wednesday.
Yes, yes. Yes, well, it's rare we get a chance to throw the theme in again, but we did this morning just for something special. How's it going out there?
It's going great. This beautiful morning. It's great. It's already 62 degrees. Yes. How's it there in New York?
Did you say in the 60s already?
Uh-huh. It's 62 degrees right now.
Okay. Well, we've got a little bit of a warm-up. I think it's probably in the mid-50s now, which is pretty good for us. I think we have a warm spell on the way, so I'm really excited about that. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, just for you guys out there who may have not realized that. I'm very happy about the weather. It's coming around, you know, it takes a little time.
Yeah.
Well, listen,
I'm enjoying it right now because it's going to change soon.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, this is, the weather's been just wacky. I was going to call it Wacky Wednesday in our posting this morning to everybody. But it's our show number 912. So we are really coming along. And again, it's October 25th of 2023. I think we had on some wonderful we had a good first hour, I should say. Very special guest,
Mary
Johnson.
Love
she
Mary.
Brings it with, her input is just, she's just got something special with all the way that she communicates that makes it so memorable and so enjoyable. I enjoy working with Mary quite a bit, and I know you guys do as well. So she should... she'll be back tomorrow's show, actually, Thursday. We have her featured in, I forget which time slot she's in, but she's definitely going to be on the show tomorrow, so you definitely want to check her out and tune in. It's an all-new special, something that you haven't heard before, and I think you guys are going to like it, so definitely check, Mary should be in our spotlight hour around 8 tomorrow. So that's on Thursday, the 26th. So you certainly check her out.
Great music this morning. I'm loving the music.
Oh, yeah, the music, it's a very special, I kind of dug in. We kind of kicked off this
favorite
morning
artist.
Show. Well, this was Whitney's big song from her last studio album, which we did gangbusters. It really did upon release, and I'll tell you why. The song is I Didn't Know My Own Strength, and she performed it on Oprah's show at the time.
just so beautiful. She always was beautiful, just incredibly, even at the, those worst times that she had and that she went through. She came out of it looking just gorgeous and still was able to sing. But I remember the album because she performed at one of the award shows. It was just a feeling of, I don't know, it was just very, it was so spiritual, the song.
Right.
And so, it was just something that really touched your heart. And I remember that she, the album that she had released, it went on, remember, this was the time that everybody was talking digital downloads and
right.
MP3s and all of that kind of stuff. And Whitney, it was unheard of that someone would release a studio old-fashioned album, you know, like CDs and CDs.
Right.
And she released that stuff and it went right on platinum, which hadn't been done in a long time before her. And so, everybody had switched over, but that still showed the power of her listenership, her fans.
Right.
And even to this day, folks are trying to get back to vinyl records and stuff. Yes, I love the idea of that. I do. I want to release an actual album as well, a physical album that you have to play on a phonograph.
Yeah.
Eventually. Yeah, we'll get around to doing that. So I've released several audio projects, so I think that would be nice to literally create a studio album that you get to play on a phonograph, which is the big old
awesome.
Player. So that kind of thing. So listen, I just wanted to check in with you this morning. We've got a very interesting show still ahead because coming up at 8 o'clock in the next hour, New York time that is, 7 o'clock if you're out with Nicole Marie in the Central Time Zone, but in our third spotlight, in our third hour, which is our spotlight hour, real excited because we've got a great scheduled guest who should be here. So you don't want to miss that. Tune in about 8 o'clock. We're expecting the folks from Upscale Magazine.
All right.
So we're going to keep our fingers crossed.
Upscale Magazine.
See that they kind of get on in. Everything is kind of moving along, and we are rolling ahead with all the right energy that we need to be rolling ahead with.
Right.
So I'm super, super excited and real happy about that. Now, also, speaking of guests, as I said, we've got Mary on tomorrow. We've got today. We've got wonderful Upscale. She'll be back in the spotlight on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Then Friday we have a wonderful gentleman who really comes to us. He's been on the show quite often, but we haven't had, I think it's been a minute since we've had the incredible Wayne Smith on. So this is going to be really, really exciting. Yeah.
One of my favorite guests.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's really bizarre the way that things happen out in the subcultural world and our language because, and I don't know if folks don't say that in a minute, but I do want to say this. I remember the days when someone used to say it's been a minute it would have the opposite meaning. It went through a whole thing that when you say in a minute, it meant a long time. How can a minute ever mean it's been a minute?
No, I remember that phrase.
A long time.
Oh, exactly.
Right, but before that, it's been a minute means that it's only been a short while.
A short while, right.
Now, somehow that got all twisted around.
Right.
I never understood how we communicated, but it did. The youngsters, they take over and change
meaning and context of things. But anyway, that was my digression. Hey, Nicole Marie, I don't know if you heard this or not, but we lost one of our veteran actors on Tuesday, actually. His name, of course, let me just say this. He embodied the black male lead at a time when we weren't playing these super undercover folks. I'm talking about the one and only actor Richard Roundtree.
Yeah.
And he played, of course, Shaft, in the original 1971 movie. I was trying to get the song on this morning, but we'll have it for you like tomorrow. But yeah,
okay.
that unmistakable song or theme song, who in the world doesn't know that song?
Who can forget that? Right.
Who can forget that and who can forget him? Richard Roundtree really did, he made such an impact that look at his death some 50 years later, and folks never have forgotten what his contribution to cinema was, exactly. And so that says a lot, and it was that much of an impact. Shaft was it.
Right.
I remember seeing the remake. I caught pieces of the original. I was a big fan of his. And he played in quite a few movies along the way after that. So I was able to still see him. I think he was even in one of the TV shows that I watched. I got to double check that because I believe that he was, I think he was in the show. Let me double check. And tomorrow we'll have a full update on this man and all that he was, his importance. And that's what we're doing here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Of course, we talk hair, beauty, and community, but we also want to take a moment right, to pay tribute to these folks who should get their flowers earlier while
Most
they're
definitely.
Alive.
Most definitely. I mean, they paved the way. So
they really did. Yeah. They paved the way. We absolutely did. Now, on to a crazy story, Nicole Marie, and I don't know if you heard this one, but it happened right here in New York City, if I'm not mistaken. In fact, it did. It was in New York. So they may have not made the national news just yet overnight.
Okay.
But it literally happened about in New York City, where I am located. There was a gentleman who somehow locked himself in a bank vault.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I believe he was making a withdrawal. There's something about some automatic timers and stuff like that. And about 8 or so in the evening yesterday, the New York, I believe the fire department, was trying to free him from the vault. And that not happen until somehow it automatically freed him at about this morning, when it went off at about, I believe, about 6 or so this morning, but early this morning. And I can you even imagine being locked inside of a bank vault?
Oh, my
Although
God.
You'd have all the money to yourself.
Right, but you're stuck.
Well, yeah, you might not survive it, but you'd have all the money to yourself.
Oh, God.
All
oh, that's
the gold
scary.
Bars and jewelry. But I was shocked. I mean, he was alive and well.
Wow.
He was alive and well. And I mean, this was a vault tightly shut. There was a phone in there, and so he was able to, and a camera, so they could see and talk to him. But I have to tell you something. First, let me ask you, Nicole, how would you feel with something like that? Are you scared of closing spaces?
Oh my gosh, I just don't know. I don't like being in tight spaces like that anyway. I don't even like to really do elevators if I don't have to. So,
really?
Oh my goodness. No,
Nicole Marie.
No, I actually have been stuck in the elevator several times.
What?
And that has
hold
been,
it,
yeah.
Hold it. Did you say you have been stuck in an elevator? Not
yes,
once, but maybe several times?
Yes. Actually, one was in, I was in the library at the University of Memphis, and the elevator stopped. And luckily, you know, you have the little emergency buttons and everything in there. And I wasn't in there very long. It was me and one other person in the elevator, and they came and got us. And then the first time
did you have
I was
to climb out of the elevator?
No. We were actually when they got us, we were actually on the floor. The door just was
open. Oh,
but the
door didn't open. Okay,
yes.
That's still kind of scary.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
now,
still very
the very
scary.
First time I was stuck in the elevator, I was actually a young child at that time. And this was when we lived over in Madrid, Spain. And my parents went to visit.
I've been over there in Madrid.
Mm-hmm. And my parents went to go visit some friends. We went to go visit some friends of theirs. And they lived in a apartment building. And we got stuck actually in between floors of the apartment building. And we were in there for longer than when I was at the library. So that
that's
just
scary.
Keeps me away from elevators.
That would have stayed with me for a long time.
Yes. Well, it's still with me right now.
Yeah. I'm sorry to laugh, but it's just, you have a point. I mean, I am.
So if there are stairs,
I think
stairs. Unless I just pass
on the elevator. Quite frankly, I am as bad, and you know, and I'm glad that you're okay and everybody was okay. I'm super scared. Okay. I'm very claustrophobic. I mean, I can work. People say, well, how can you be claustrophobic? You were a flight attendant. I'm a person who I don't really like anything closed in. Not many people do, I guess. But some people, it just doesn't bother them.
Right.
I'm like you, an elevator. I don't even want to think about it. So, wow. That's all I can say this morning to that, Nicole Marie. You know, so I'm just grateful this poor man, he was able to get out. And maybe he's not so poor. He was stuck in a vault. You know, a bank vault, that is. But just real interesting stuff. I mean, you can't make these kind of things up. And I think you guys can Google the story, but what I believe is that it just had an automatic timer. So they didn't get through. There was no way to really get him out, I believe. So then it opened up. And he probably just walked on out casually. You know, after spending 9 hours,
oh my God,
9 hours, can you just, all I can say, 9 hours in a vault, okay. Well, listen, we've got some great stuff ahead. We still have some, we're doing a very special spotlight hour at 8 with a wonderful, wonderful Miss Millie of Upscale Magazine.
Miss Millie.
Shouting out Bernard, Bronner, and all the folks at Upscale. We just appreciate them. They're part of, I think I'm forever entwined with Upscale, even though we have incredible Afterlock magazine of our own. Yeah, they've just been a big part of what we do. So I'm super, super excited about all that. Yeah. Now, speaking of being inspirational, as these people have been at Upscale and all that we do to represent our brand, our product, which is Afterlock Magazine, you do something along the way as inspiration each day, Nicole Marie. You really do. And I've got to really say, that is the incredible, inspirational hope of today. So please take a moment to, tell us what Hope of the Day is all about.
Thank you, Carrie. Well, first of all, no matter what each and every one of us may be going through, there's always hope, that positive expectation that change can and will occur in our lives. And it's so very, very important because it gives our lives meaning. And each and every day, I share an inspirational way from a book that is courtesy of Patrick Lindsay, and it's called High Hope. And I want to share the hope of the day for this Wednesday for all of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show. And it is, make something. Use your hands to make something tangible. Do it with love and passion. Draw, build a table, whatever it is, put your heart into it. And when it's finished, give it away with love. Back to you, Carrie.
All right. I appreciate that. I think you guys know that I make something essentially every day. We probably all do, but we probably don't think about it in this way. But I think what Patrick Lindsay is saying is to be a little bit more deliberate with making something because it'll have that kind of therapeutic effect.
Exactly.
And I think that, right? And I think that that's the point. And I love that because that's me anyway. I'm a very creative person,
right?
Very dynamic person in that way. And so I love the idea of creating something that you can feel, especially also the more that you can use your fingers and your hands and, you know, and touch and all the senses that you have,
right.
And especially something that's super, super, super tangible like that, I think that it can stay with you and it can also have an impact on others. So creativity driven by that passion of developing and making something. Again, getting your hands dirty, as one would say.
Right.
Yeah. So what about yourself? Are you that kind of person? I just imagine somebody with a big ball of clay. Nicole is sitting there trying to make a little clay people, claymation characters.
No, okay. I'm not really artsy. You know, I don't draw and all that. I do my best because I do believe that, you know, especially being in education, you know, I have my students make things. I have my kids make things. And especially around the holiday time, you know, you make gifts and give those gifts. And to me, those things are so very, very important. And I think when especially when kids make things, to me, it means more because they've been creative and it comes more from the heart instead of just going and buying something. You know, you can go buy a gift from the store, but when you actually create something and make something or even write, I like to write. And so I write in cards and give them to people. So to me, that means more than just giving a gift that store bought.
Now, how are those items received by the others?
Oh, they love it. They love it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm one of those people, one of those persons as well. I like to, you know, we're creative, and I don't think that's hard to figure out. But I love the idea of if somebody, like, I keep those cards. I really do.
Right.
When I get them, those handwritten cards, and these days
because
they're very, very
time
rare.
And effort to really put into it, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
I just love that, and I love the
success.
Yeah,
but they are rare. They're very, very rare, and so
so cool.
I'm with you on that. And I just got to say thank you to everybody. Again, for our Salon TV fans, you guys listening to the show, please understand that we are on a crusade to just beat down the door with new content and new specials and new all kinds of interviews and things like that. And we're really going to ring the bell on this. So just want to say thank you to everybody. For all of you guys out there who have been so incredibly patient while we work on all of these wonderful things. And to our own Afro Lock magazine, all that, we have announcements coming up next week. right here on the show. We'll be talking about all of that as we kind of move forward.
Wonderful.
We'll be talking about the holidays. Yeah, we're, I mean,
yes,
you know,
just
holidays on
are right around the corner.
They are right around the corner, literally. So how about yourself? How do you, are you looking forward to, you know, the upcoming season for the holidays? I mean,
I love the holidays. Now, for Thanksgiving, we usually go and visit family, but my favorite is the Christmas season. Growing up, it was always a big deal for our family, and I've continued on with my kids as far as decorating and the food and making cookies and making things for other people, and it's just a very joyous time.
So, well, when do you start your celebration time? Like some folks wait until November, December 1st, and all that kind of stuff. Do you have a special date or anything
Christmas,
like that?
Not really a special date, but we do start, I guess it could be considered celebrating or starting the season. December 1st, start watching all the holiday movies and everything. So, you know, really the whole month of December.
Yeah, now I have to tell you, I love that. I usually start right around Thanksgiving, sometimes right before Thanksgiving, to be honest.
Okay.
You guys will know because you're gonna hear Mariah Carey kick off the holiday season. and right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, of course, you know, we play songs and all of that. And talk about memories and great times. So, I love the holiday season. So officially, we'll probably kick it off sometime in mid-November here on the show. Well, at my house, I usually do decoration around the studio here, and I put up my tree. I usually put up my tree right after Thanksgiving. So that's what I do. Yeah, I know that's a little on the early side. But I think any chance that you can to be reminded of the joyous spirit that you spoke about earlier is a good thing.
So true.
And
we may put ours
I
up
take
a little
that all
this time.
Yes, we'll take it all the way through to the end of January. That's how Mariah's the queen of Christmas. I'm the king of Christmas. So that's how that goes.
Okay. Sounds great.
So let's,
right after Christmas,
so,
I take mine down.
Oh, really?
And pack everything back
right
up.
After?
Yes.
Oh,
like
wow.
That, the few days after Christmas, I go in and start taking everything off the tree and everything. I do.
Oh,
I don't leave it there.
Bob. No. Well, listen, I can't wait. So soon we'll have the wonderful Christmas music plus my favorite song of all time, which is really technically not a Christmas song. We'll talk about that. About that in the days to come. All right. We had a little bit of mystery in there with Miss, I think it was, do you remember that we had it in early today with Anita Baker and all of that?
Anita Baker,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell Carrie.
What?
I'm looking forward to seeing Anita Baker. She is coming. Actually, we'll see her the day before Thanksgiving. She will be in Memphis. Yes.
And
Luther and I are going to see her in concert, yes.
Oh,
so I'm
Let me tell
looking forward to that.
That is just incredible. First of all, yes, Anita Baker, she's still out there in 2023 and beyond, still performing, still talking to everybody, still doing her thing. So we are, that's just lovely.
I'm
going to
tell you all about
it. Yeah, wow. Well, now, what's your favorite Anita Baker song? Not that we have it queued up, but what's your favorite Anita song?
Well, I'd say Giving You the Best That I've Got, because that was our wedding song.
Yeah, that's one that I don't have queued, of course. We'll get it tomorrow. But that was a good album I think that was a follow-up to the hugely successful Rapture album.
Exactly.
But, I love all of that. She just had a very different style. And
right.
I remember back in the day, folks would say, oh, she can't sing. Oh, she just – no, she could always sing to me. She just has – she's a stylist, more in the way of like the legendary artist Nancy Wilson and those folks. She just was
right.
So, she just is very talented, and we just love her.
Right.
So take pictures and see if I can
–
I'll have to come down there and join you guys on that one. That is great. Well, we just –
come on.
We talk so much. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to see if I can at least toss on an Anita song. And great job, Nicole Marie. So much more coming up. Stay with us, folks.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Anita Deja. Yeah, you bring me joy. This is great.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
One in a million. The history of Madam C.J. Walker and her entrepreneurial legacy. Not even her poor and difficult beginnings stymied Madam Walker's road to greatness. Born December 23, 1867, roughly 2 years after the alleged emancipation of her race, she was an orphan at 7, a wife at 14, a mother at 17, and a widow by 20. The woman who would become known as the first self-made female millionaire and the greatest benefactress of her race was born the daughter of Owen and Minerva Breedlove, poor ex-slaves living on a cotton farm in Louisiana. They named their special little girl Sarah Breedlove. A washerwoman by trade, at the age of 33 in 1900, Sarah began selling a product door to door which she had formulated to remedy her own hair loss. She pinpointed the root of her hair problems, which was the scalp, and created hair care products and a beauty regimen for hair growth and maintenance that focused on the need for a clean and healthy scalp, scalp protection, and scalp stimulation for maximum hair growth. Her first product would eventually be called Madam C.J. Walker's Wonderful Hair Grower, and she boldly and proudly used her own likeness on her jars and her own before and after pictures to demonstrate her product's effectiveness. Per Madam's own words, she abhorred the impression held by some that she claimed to straighten hair. She emphatically stated, "I grow hair," and that there would be no hair-growing business today had I not started it. She described her concept and method of hair growth as beauty culture because she compared growing hair to growing and cultivating garden plants. She then broadened this concept of beauty culture by incorporating the value of cleanliness and professionalism, which emphasized the overall appearance, moral conduct, and character of the Black woman. Black women from all over the country began writing letters to Madam Walker attesting to the benefits of her products. By setting up a special correspondence course of beauty culture in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then a manufacturing facility in Indiana, and later a beauty college in New York City, Madam was able to further establish and promulgate her program of beauty culture, which trained the Black female in three areas. First, the Black woman was taught the proper presentation of herself. She was to be clean, neat, properly attired, and well-mannered. Second, she was taught how to use Madam's hair care system on customers. And third, she was taught how to sell Madam's hair care products to customers. In so doing, Madam C.J. Walker provided a solution to the root of the Black woman's demise. She raised the Black woman's self-esteem and confidence about her own beauty and intelligence, and she empowered the Black woman economically, thus freeing her from white servitude and male dependency. This accomplishment is even more amazing when put in the context of the time in which these things were done and in the context of Madam's own background. The time, one historian called the nadir, or lowest point in the history of the Black race, outside of slavery itself. The blessings of freedom was now marred by the blatant terrorist acts of the Ku Klux Klan and those like-minded individuals working in collusion with them. The harsh reality faced by the vast majority of Blacks living in this era was that the number of lynchings peaked during the early 1900s, as did other backlashes sparked by Reconstruction, such as the burning of Black churches and schools, and the establishment of Jim Crow laws. During this dark period, most black women were either sharecroppers or washerwomen and house servants for whites. Madam Walker was no exception, but she was, however, exceptional. Madam Walker moved her ever-expanding special correspondence course business, founded on her system of beauty culture, to Indianapolis, Indiana, on February 19, 1910. She then purchased and paid for her home, adjoining which was a factory and laboratory, located at 640 North West Street. She endeared herself to the citizens of Indianapolis when she contributed $1,000 to the establishment of the Senate Avenue YMCA. It is reported that she was the only woman to make such a donation. Madam herself, when referring to the YMCA donation, had this to say, quote, "In referring to that $1,000 gift, I don't want you to lay so much stress on it, and do not say that I am the only one. You might say that I was the first and caused others to awaken to the sense of their duty in helping deserving causes for the benefit of the race," end quote. Not long after her move to Indianapolis, Madam Walker also became a member of Bethel AME Church, one of the oldest and most influential churches in the black community, to which Madam Walker contributed generously. In less than 2 years after moving to Indianapolis, on September 2, 1911, Madam C.J. Walker petitioned the Indiana Secretary of State to become incorporated, and on September 19, 1911, exactly 1 year and 7 months since her arrival in Indianapolis, the Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company of Indiana Incorporated was established, Madam Walker naming herself president and owner of all 1,000 shares of stock. A relentless worker and ingenious marketer and saleswoman, Madam Walker had thought to place her system of hair care products in black colleges all across the United States. She also regularly advertised in black newspapers, and she eventually placed her products in drugstores. As she traveled throughout the country, she wrote letters to her general manager in order to instruct him on how best to run her factory in her absence and how to implement all of her new ideas. However, the Madam Walker agents, Madam's recruited sales force, were her biggest asset. Madam held public meetings in churches, rented lodge halls and other such facilities, and put on demonstrations, including a slide presentation, in order to recruit black women to become Walker agents. Madam Walker taught and trained them in the methods of application and proper use of her hair oils and vegetable shampoo. Eventually, Madam organized a national convention for her Walker agents, giving away prizes and other incentives to motivate and energize her ever-growing troops of Walker agents. Sales generated from Madam Walker's manufacturing company and the hair care products it produced enabled Madam to give birth to yet another legacy, as Madam became known as the greatest benefactress of her race. Through monies earned and derived from Madam's work in the hair-growing business, Madam Walker regularly donated large sums of money to charity and to individuals of her race who were in need. In fact, Madam was so self-sacrificing and freely giving that those closest to her were worried that she would become financially ruined. Desiring all blacks to have decent homes, at times, Madam would assume mortgages of blacks who were financially strapped, allowing them to repay when and how they could. Various schools for blacks and certain social and civic organizations dedicated to the betterment of the black race were also beneficiaries of Madam's philanthropy. Though many have called Madam extravagant, her generosity and passion for her people were Madam's only extravagances. She gave not for self-aggrandizement, but rather to inspire other wealthy blacks to give likewise. Moreover, Madam's giving went well beyond monetary donations. She lent her name and time to worthy causes. She traversed the country, speaking against lynchings, and fought vehemently for the fair treatment of black soldiers who had served in America's military during World War I. Madam C.J. Walker was an ambassador of sorts, a spokesperson for all black-skinned people, a revolutionary, visionary, missionary force. It should therefore be quite obvious that Madam Walker's passing on May 25, 1919, was a tremendous loss to the black race. At that time, Madam had recruited over 25,000 black women from the United States, Central America, and the Caribbean as door-to-door beauty culturists and was well on her way to Africa. Her net worth was over $1 million, making her the first female, regardless of color, to become a self-made millionaire. She is one of the most successful black entrepreneurs of all time and one of the first to utilize the method known today as direct sales marketing to distribute her products. She had also managed to build a 32-room mansion in Irvington, New York called Villa Loaro, which she had desired to be left as a monument to her name and as an example to her race of what hard work and black support of black enterprises could achieve. After Madam's 1919 passing, her hair care manufacturing corporation was used as collateral to secure the finances needed to build what is today known as the Madam Walker Theater Building. Completed in late 1927, the Walker Building Beauty Salon continues to operate there and continues to sell Madam C.J. Walker's original hair care products. Years later, in 1982, the trustees of Madam Walker's trust would deposit a large portion of Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company's business records, historical documents, pictures, and memorabilia with the Indiana Historical Society, who took on the task of painstakingly organizing and preserving the Madam Walker legacy. 74 years after the incorporation of the Madam Walker Company, in 1985, the 1,000 shares of capital stock of Madam's corporation were sold to a man named Raymond L. Randolph, making him the first person since Madam Walker herself to own all 1,000 shares of stock in the original Madam Walker Company. A graduate of Attucks High School, Mr. Randolph had never dreamed that he would become the owner and caretaker of this phenomenal legacy. In honor of Madam C.J. Walker, Mr. Randolph placed Madam Walker's image back on the jars of her original hair care products with the words, "Since 1911," placed underneath it. Doing business today as Madam C.J. Walker Enterprises Incorporated, the hair care company founded by Madam C.J. Walker continues to manufacture and sell her original quality products, ensuring that the legacy of this remarkable woman never dies. The Madam Walker Agent Program has been reinstituted and is the main method by which her products are distributed today. On September 24, 2011, Madam C.J. Walker Enterprises sponsored a centennial celebratory walk called Tracing the Footsteps of a Legacy. This event marked the 100th year since the pivotal point in her entrepreneurial legacy when Madam Walker incorporated her manufacturing company, the Madam C.J. Walker business family, which includes the Madam Walker agents, will continue to keep Madam Walker's spirit alive and well by ensuring that her labor of love, her manufacturing business, continues operating according to the entrepreneurial blueprint she left behind and which is detailed in the historical documents of the company. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah Breedlove. You are indeed one in a million.
Good morning, Nicole Marie.
Morning.
Good morning. Yes, how are
good morning,
you?
Good morning. I am great. How are you?
Doing just fantastic. Well, listen, let
awesome.
Us kind of jump in on this because this is something that I noticed recently. I'm kind of been in this mindset, Nicole Marie, about black theater. Black theater,
right.
If you will. Yes.
Yes.
Where You know, because I've grown up here. You know, I live in New York City. We have Broadway. I've been to many Broadway
yes,
shows.
Famous Broadway, yes.
Yeah, but it kind of started back when I was a kid. It started back when I was a kid. I always used to be very much wanting to write plays, and I even tried out for the School of the Performing Arts, high school and all that kind of stuff, like the kind of show that the TV show Fame was based on.
Yes,
I'll feel you guys. Well, yeah, so did I. So I'll feel you in on my audition and all that another time. But let me just tell you this. I was always influenced by what we have contributed, being African-American, the landscape of theater. And I had no idea about this. I had just uncovered a fact that I was really surprised about. And you guys may know some of this already. You may have seen the play out there yourself. But there was a play that I went to called Mama, I Wanna Sing. And and it was by a lady, I want to say Vi Hickinson, I think her name is.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, just an incredible. It was about her actual sister. I didn't even know this, was a real performer, a singer named Doris Troy. And I just happened to be watching TV the other day, and I saw Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. on a commercial promoting some classic songs. And one of those was the big hit by the singer Doris Troy. So I said, Doris Troy, I remember that name from the play Mama, I Wanna
Musical,
Sing.
Right.
Yeah, the musical. And I said, let me just Google Doris Troy and see who is Doris Troy. And as it turns out, I had no idea that she sang with none other than Dionne Warwick, Sissy Houston, and Dee Dee Warwick. Can you believe that, Nicole Marie?
Wow.
So that
I certainly did not know that, right.
Yeah, four incredible singers. Now, of the four, can you guess which two I've interviewed? Thought I'd get you on that one.
Dionne Warwick. And hold on.
Okay, let me just recap it for you guys out there. Okay, so we're talking about Doris Troy, who I just found out is performed with Dionne Warwick, Sissy Houston, and Dionne's sister Dee Dee Warwick. So that was very, very interesting. So of those four, I interviewed two of them, have been on our show over the years. Okay. Now, with that in mind, let me also say this. Two of them have gone on so okay. You give up. Let me just take out your misery. All right. Well, first of all, let me just tell you, I was just blown away to discover that Doris Troy I recognized her big hit record that you guys can easily Google up, and I have to get it and put it on here. But I was just blown away that that I knew the song without ever making the connection that was Doris Troy singing it, even though I had gone I'd gone to see it as a child. Again, Mama, I Want to Sing. And so that was the big connection that I had, and I said the big revelation. But then to realize that she had been one of the singers that sang with Dionne Warwick and Dee Dee Warwick and Sissy Houston. You know, they're all related, the three of them.
Right.
And so I thought that was interesting. Okay, now let me tell you So all that to say, I love black theater. It also reminded me of the incredible work of a gentleman who was also on our show, the one and only Shelley Garrett. Now, we lost him a few years back, but Shelley has made just a huge impact on me as well. And I had a chance to go and meet Shelley Garrett and his lovely wife, Doris, and she's been on our show as well. And we've just been able to make some amazing connections and have some incredible artists chat with and to introduce to everybody. So it's been incredible.
Wonderful. Correct?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So now, back to the Doris Troy story here. So as it turns out, the answer to the trivia is that of the four, again, Dionne Warwick, Dede Warwick, Sissy Houston. Now, again, Sissy Houston is the mother, of course, of Whitney Houston, just so the folks know.
Right.
And of course, Doris Troy, who this incredible play was based on, Mama, I Want to Sing. And it really, the story came to light because the sister, who was a New York City DJ that we all know here, I remember her very well, brought this story to life. Now, Doris herself you can guys can Google her whole thing out there, but I think we lost her along the way. But I think she saw the success of it inside the theater.
Right.
You know, so that was really good, and she made it a while after that. So, okay, so here's the deal. It was, last chance. You want to take one last chance, or are you ready to just, what is it, Carrie?
I'm ready for you to tell.
Okay, all right. I teased it enough.
I had my guess, but I don't think I'm correct, so I'm
okay,
ready for you.
Okay, well, that's okay. Let me tell you. It's no problem. Now, of course, Dionne Warwick has been on our show. You can see her picture everywhere. She's like a 4 or 5-time Grammy Award winner, as you guys know. She is the cousin to superstar singer Whitney Houston. Just an incredible artist, and she was a big pop star in her own right, one of the biggest in the world as well, who's had great songs. We know her from the We Are the World record with Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, Tina Turner, and the list goes on.
So we're talking about that.
We're talking about a superstar, and for us to be able to have her on our broadcast took us to a whole new level. Well, I had, as you guys know, I've told the story about having the chance to interview Dionne's sister, Dee Dee, way years earlier. And Dee Dee, I had interviewed 2 times. And I never will forget her voice because it sounded so much like Dionne's speaking voice. And it just was always with me. I still hear the way exactly she sounded, which is really, that doesn't happen all that much, but in this case, it really does. So when I got a chance to interview Dionne, of course, before the interview started and off mic, I said, I interviewed your sister, Dee Dee. I said, twice. And she thought it was just so remarkable. And I said, yeah, I most certainly did. It was just a lovely, lovely interview. She was just fantastic. And so the two that I interviewed, of course, were Dionne and Dede Warwick. So there you go.
Is
that not nice? Yeah.
That's nice.
But,
I had Dionne right, for sure.
What was that?
I said I had Dionne right, of course.
Oh,
yeah.
I had
her down.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They are all superstars. And, you know, for me, just, you know, tipping my hat to black theater, that's what this is all about. And while we're at it, I want to just take a moment to shout out the amazing folks at Upscale Magazine Radio.
They're doing
a great job. They've been really big supporters of the Hair Radio Morning Show and everything that we're doing, all of our entire team, and I'm just very happy to, you know.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
All right. Happy mid-show. It's Wednesday morning, October 25th of 2023. It is our show number 912 today, 912. And we are so grateful to have you guys with us. Listen, very, very, very special guest coming back to us here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, the first time in a very long while. As you heard a little shout out at the end of our Broadway clip a moment or two ago to the incredible folks at I call the family business. We are talking, of course, Upscale Magazine and one of my dear, dear, dear colleagues, my industry friend, just wonderful supporter who I just miss so very much. Hadn't had a chance to catch up until recently and just love her dearly. And I'm so happy to have you guys here tuned in to kind of, you know, get to witness this wonderful merging, if you will. The one and only, of course, Miss Millie Harrell of Upscale Magazine. Good morning,
Miss Millie. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I just love hearing your voice in the morning. So it's so wonderful here on the Hair Radio
Only
Morning
you.
Show.
You.
Oh, this is really
Only
great. First
care.
Of all, listen, let me officially welcome you on air back to our airwaves. It's been too long. So good morning.
You know what? We're just, you know, we're still with you. We're still here. We're still part of you and you're part of us. We just both of us have been super busy.
Now this is true. So listen, I want to tell everybody, first of all, Millie, you know, when you were with us last, we talked a lot about the incredible work that Upscale has been doing for, oh gosh, around 35 years, I mean, a long time. You know,
we'll be 35 years.
You know. Wow. We were little kids. We'll say, okay, I'll admit to that.
Exactly. I don't know, really.
Right?
I was still in diapers when he started.
Yes. Well, listen, Miss Millie, we just, and before we even get started, I have got to give a big shout out to the one and only Bernard Bronner and, of course, the Bronner family, of course. But I just want to definitely, we'll talk a little bit more about Bernard in just a bit, but I just wanted to make sure that was officially out there this morning, okay? Now let's talk. We got a lot to get into in this hour. Miss Millie is here to help us to, I guess, co-host this morning. We're going to talk a whole lot about Miss Millie, her part in the magazine. We're going to talk about Upscale. We're going to talk about Bronner Brothers. We're going to talk about everything here, the industry. We're going to talk about our wonderful magazines, which we're so excited about. And I can, you know, say honestly to be just carrying, you know, on in this industry. I wouldn't even be able to even do that had it not been for my wonderful time at wonderful Upscale Magazine. So we're going to talk about all of that and so much more. So, Miss Millie, now let's kind of lead on in with you down there this morning. You're out of the Georgia area. But I forget, why are you from Georgia originally? Where are you from? Let's start there.
No, I'm from Ohio.
You are kidding me.
No, we were born in Cleveland, and Daddy moved us to a little town called Barberton. So most people have never heard of it. So now I can say we're like 8 miles from where LeBron James grew up, which is Akron, Ohio, and they know that.
Now,
they'll know
crazy?
That.
Wow. Yes, I love that. Well, but no, how come? Wow. Well, you have adapted very well to Georgia.
But Daddy was from the South.
Very much like you're from born down there.
No, Daddy was from the South. Daddy was down by south by Macon. And we still have plenty of family still there. And it's about an hour drive down 75 South. And they rip and run. We'll rip and run and see each other. Yeah, so that's where Daddy was from. But he met Mama in Cleveland. And so both of them have been migrated to Cleveland. So.
Wow. That is incredible. Well, listen, I would be remiss if I did not take a moment to acknowledge. I know our co-host, Nicole Marie, you guys will hear her back at tomorrow, Miss Show, but what was so amazing is that she's from also originally out there, and even though she's down in Mississippi these days, but she was born and raised up in Cleveland, Ohio area. So I guess a lot of folks are from there.
Well, Harvey, let's see, I'm looking at these people, oh my goodness, and I work for a magazine. You talk about drawing a blank.
It's incredible.
It is a lot of people, celebrities.
That you would not think of.
you got Halle Berry. From
Halle
Cleveland.
Berry from that interview too? You're kidding.
Huh?
Really?
Yes, you got, he used to have the night talk show. He was Upscale's first cover. He used to always say when I was driving in from Cleveland. I think you were on his show.
Hold it. Was I on his show? I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Miss Millie. I am just so impressed with this. I am. So listen, folks, if you are just tuning in, I'm Carrie Hines, and you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. And a very, very special compadre, I'm going to say, out there in the industry. You guys know Miss Millie Harrell doing amazing things at Upscale Magazine. They've been around for a very long time. We're just so honored to have her with us today to really help to hold it down here and also find out what Upscale is up to these days, literally, and also so many other projects and things, and just really great to have you with us. Again, our very special guest today on the Hair Radio Morning Show, welcoming back the one and only Millie Harrell. Good morning again.
Hey, good morning. I got my coffee. Oreos.
You are good to go.
We are good to go. I got a little bit of a cold. I was in New York. I was in your territory last week.
Yes. She was here, and I'm going to get Miss Millie for not calling me, and I'm finding out later.
We were there for two conventions. They brought us in for one, and then it overlapped with advertising week. First we went to Black-owned media, and then we went to ad week. So there was no, they didn't give you.
There was no
you got there at 9-ish.
They
had you dinner.
Yeah, listen, no problem. And I'll tell you why. I often, and it's really bad, I'm sorry, if my brother is listening, he's going to kill me on this because he doesn't know. But I remember one time I had to fly into, down where you are, Erie, down into Atlanta. And I remember Siobhan and I, we flew into Atlanta just for one day. And I had to go to a big thing down there. And literally, we turned around and flew back in the same day. I didn't have a chance to call, certainly not to visit my brother who's living down there as well. But he also, he has a place up in D.C., so he's often, I'm going to just make an excuse and say he could have been not at home. So I didn't have a chance. So I understand you're busy, you know.
Yeah,
and
sometimes
and,
it just gets like that.
Exactly. But you know what?
Yeah.
We're always in our well wishes. We know you're where you know, on the map. We're over here. You're over there. But we meet up when we can, and we catch up when we can. And that's what today is all about. So just so very pleased. Now, Miss Millie, we got to talk about Upscale Magazine. We got to talk about Upscale.
You know what? I will tell you, I am proud. The industry is taking notice. So I've only been back for 2 years. So the industry is taking notice of the changes that we're now making and the things we're incorporating. And Bernard came back last week.
The wonderful Bernard Bronner.
I'm sorry, Bernard Bronner. He ain't all that one. He okay. How about that? He all right. But,
we love it.
And he, so we were talking maybe Sunday night, Monday, and he said, Miss, such and such wants you to give him a call. And I said, oh, well, how are they doing? Blah, blah, blah. And he was like, everybody talking about noticing the changes being made at Upscale. And I said, well, praise Jesus. Because I came after COVID.
You were working on it?
Yes. And I came after COVID, so I call it the after COVID Upscale. How about that?
Listen, Millie, what am I going to do with you? Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
They asked me to give an overview of Upscale the other day when I was in New York for the meeting, and I said, yes. I'm going to be honest with you, it's hard to turn a ship that's been sailing this direction for 34
yes.
years
so,
and I
yes,
want to turn it
true. Yes. You almost can't, almost. But if anybody can't, you've done it. And let me tell you something. I love it. I love the work that you guys are doing at Upscale. And even though I was supposed to get into our little piece way later in the today, in the last few minutes of the show, I just want to take a moment to really, truly say the work that you're doing is stellar. You guys have influenced not just me, Carrie Hines, but the industry. And so anybody who listens to the Hair Radio Morning Show now, who tunes in, who, you know, gets on any part of our platform, there's not a moment that I don't pay tribute to Upscale Magazine, period.
Yes.
With
you've
TV
always been. You're part of us. So we expect that. I'm not
thank
surprised.
You
so thank you. But I'm really not surprised. But
exactly.
We
and you also
we just have a lot of good things going on.
I don't know if you know this, but you also help to encourage me into really a lot of folks. They see our beautiful graphics and they see all these things, but it was really Miss Millie who took a chance on me to help at Upscale in that way.
He could do it, and he could already
do
it. And he sent me something, and I said, "Well, why don't you do this for me?"
Wow.
So he already had it; he just had never used.
No,
and
I really
okay, well,
and
I'm the kind of person. You got talent. oh, I need it.
Yeah,
if you got talent, Harry,
yeah.
I need it.
You know, and folks may not know that. Really, I have to credit you specifically with helping me to do that, because you opened up a whole, literally an industry, a business that I've helped so many other folks. They have no idea that it was that encouragement from Millie Harrell who did that. And so because of that, and you and Bernard and the family at Upskill, because there was a family there that I just love. We had many meetings and all of that, and it was a great education.
We miss you in our meetings, and we are now 40. It's 40 of us.
What? Oh, my God. You have just, of course, like you said, you're not surprised. I'm not surprised either. You guys are just, like I said, a big family over there. And just, you're heading up, you guys are heading up, you and Bernard, you're doing an amazing job. And everybody over there. You know, you have.
It is. We have brought on a series of PR companies. And my philosophy is I could go and hire people and fly them across the country. Or I can bring on PR people and partner with them, and they're already at the BET Awards, the Oscars.
Exactly. Yes.
They're already at the Morehouse.
You found out
I think
the
they have some. They're already there. So why do I need to hire somebody when this is what you do anyway?
Exactly.
And we provide platforms and outlets for you to report on what it is that you do anyway.
Yeah.
So they love it because now they have an outlet for all of the stuff that they do. And we just started doing live interviews. And if you all
now
follow
tell us,
about
that. Yeah.
Okay. If you all follow us on upscalemagazine.com, and you can go to Instagram. Now, a lot of the interviews get embedded in the actual physical articles, but sometimes I know CC did one on the young lady from the Housewives of Atlanta, and theirs was a live interview.
Wow.
So
I love stuff like that.
Yeah, so everybody's Tara Merchant. You know Tara up there in New York?
Yes,
Tara
been on our
just,
show before,
Yes, Tara just interviewed Barack Obama.
Now, that is ginormous, the Obamas. What can we say? Yes, indeed.
We love them. That's what we say.
Right? But hold on. I love the magazine. I love the covers. I love the stories. The team that you have focuses on putting together beautiful content. I love the layout. And that, again, you're going to hear me talk about this, where the inspiration comes from and where I was kind of introduced to this whole beautiful concept of making beautiful pages. And while ours, you know, we're just a baby. So on the Afrolog magazine side, we're just a little baby. But I do want to say we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have been bored had it not been and the amazing work of the folks at Upskill Magazine. And again, like Ms. Millie said, I go to your site, upskillmagazine.com, that I'm used to, and you have it laid out. You got a lot of stuff laid out there and beautiful things that you guys can see and you know, support. So
and just click on the IG, and then you can see or the little spyglass, and you can search for all of the video interviews. Yes.
Now see,
but Barack's not on yet.
Okay.
Because you know.
Let us know when you have him on, though, so we can.
Well, she had to get. They have to approve. The Zoom.
Yes.
They. She had to go through security. In the beginning, and then they had to approve, you know, we're dealing with politics, you know, they had to approve the video even after. So now we're just waiting on the photos. How about that?
Listen, and we have, you're absolutely right, and we know, because one of our good friends, he also had a chance to interview the president, and well, the former president, I should say, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. Remember, Lionel was there chatting with them, and he gave us an update. So you're right, that's the process. But let me tell you something, Ms. Millie, we are not surprised, because Upscale brings it. And so we'll take a little bit of a commercial break, give you a chance to kind of get you some more coffee. I'm going to heat up my – I got to throw it – you know what's bad when you kind of microwave a coffee now. But I got to do that. And we'll take a little bit of a commercial break.
I'll see you in, what, 2 minutes?
Something like that. And what I want to do, Miss Millie, we might, I think we'll put on a little – give you just a moment to get yourself as well.
Okay.
Get ready, because we've got the rest of the show, and I want to talk to you when we come back about some of the iconic covers of Upscale. So we'll get into that and so much more this morning.
Okay, sweetie.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
You guys stay with us. We'll be right back. More of the show. All right. More of the show to go.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show. We are making black progress. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with The Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is Wednesday morning. It's October 25th of 2023, and we are so excited. It's our show number 912 today, 912. We're bringing back to the line, I just can't say enough about this lady, and I just love that she's able to join us this morning because, yes, she is busy. You think we're busy. She is busy. We're talking about the one and only Miss Millie Harrell from Upscale Magazine. I better stick to my day job. Again, Miss Millie, we just love you here. Welcome back. Good morning.
Thank you. I was just texting. I had we have a writer. We wrote a book review on a lady called Noon Westfield. She just wrote a book, and I am going to see if I can have her. Her reveal is this weekend in Kansas City. And I'm going to see if set you two up for interview. Her book.
Oh, listen, you guys heard it right here on the radio show. I would love that, Miss Millie. Noon Westfield. Okay, I would love that. We'd love to.
And
I think that would be fantastic.
It is, I'll give you the premise. But that's it. I'll give you a tantalizer.
Okay.
She and her husband had one child.
Yeah.
Well, there was a little boy, a little white boy at that, hanging out in the neighborhood, and nobody kind of sort of knew. And so Noon decided to go and find out where your parents are. And so, you know, after hours, you know how we had to be at home. You know, kids got to be in the house, whatever. And went and asked questions and found his mother, you know, about a half a mile away. And she's like, you know, well, your son is, you know, and true story. The lady said, what's your full name? And so she gave her full, you know, name and blah, blah, blah. And true story, Carrie, the lady passed and left her son at noon.
What?
Like I said, that's all I'm going to tell you.
I can't say. Wow, I'm speechless. Are you serious? Wow. Now, hold on. What's the name of this book again?
I believe it's the other way around.
Let me also tell you guys. You can Google. I'm sure you can Google it too. Noon Westfield. My gosh, Miss Miller, we just love it. And listen,
so
guys,
we did a write up on her in the last issue of the Diddy issue.
What?
Diddy is our current cover.
Okay. Now you know what we let's talk about that too.
Okay.
I want to get this lady on, so please make that happen.
Well, I will take
Millie.
Care of it for you, I promise you.
Okay, now you guys hear us conducting. This is right here live. This is what happens in the corridors of the wonderful magazine publishing industry. Listen,
yeah.
We just love you here. So let me just say, now speaking of covers, and you just mentioned Diddy's on the cover, and I saw that over at Upscale Magazine. I got to keep the magazine straight at upscalemagazine.com.
Right.
I saw that. So tell us how that the whole thing with Diddy being on the cover, and it's a beautiful picture, by the way. If you guys have not seen it, you need to go there and see it. Again, I went to upscalemagazine.com. To see that. So talk to us about that. How did that whole thing come about with Diddy appearing on the cover?
He was here in Atlanta, in Best Fest, and he was giving out financial information, and you know
wow.
that he just donated $1 million to someone last week, and he's just doing a lot of things. Diddy has 7 biological children, but I guess when you're
Ooh,
a billionaire,
I
mean, you know. I'm sorry?
No, I was just saying, I didn't realize he had seven kids.
Yes. Matter of fact, if you go to upscalemagazine.com, someone wrote an article about celebrities with the most children, and he made the list. He has 7.
Hold it. Hold it. Now that's a, you know what, we gotta go there and read that. And
yeah,
I might
it's
have
online.
To borrow
that's fine.
That article. My God. But hold it. The celebrities with the most children.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Miss Millie, you know what? You bring so much fun and joy. You really do. I don't even know if you realize it or not. You really do. And, you know, I think we're going to say you missed your caller because I think, although you're doing a good job in the publishing world, but I would love to see you on TV and radio and all those wonderful things. You just have a natural proclivity. You're just
oh,
very
Lord.
Natural.
Now, speaking of TV, you know Upscale is launching Upscale Digital Television.
Upscale just going in. I love it. So tell us about it. Tell us, you know, how this all
it's right now
thing,
just content. It's just content being added.
Yeah.
And so, but it is live on Roku, Apple,
yes.
and Amazon Prime. And so
yes.
it's
yes.
They're just loading the content.
Yeah.
So that's the
yeah.
purpose of having all of the PR people doing different things and
right.
so we can
yeah.
create original content.
Yeah, and you're doing that too. Let me just officially say that. And again, I love, you know, somebody who's in the industry now, and again, I'm just a baby in this business, but what I love, again, I love the layout. I love the gorgeousness of it.
That's
nice. Nigel
Kelly is the print editor.
Right.
And then
right.
Christina
yes.
Bronner
oh,
is
wow.
the digital editor. She handles
well,
the web.
Let me tell you something. You're working it out. I can officially say it. You guys are working it out over there at Upscale. So,
and it takes a lot of people
lot.
To do this. And
yes.
So I am
sure.
proud of the team that we have, and again,
yeah.
it's continuing to grow. Christina brought me a guy to speak with yesterday, well, Monday. he wants to write for us, and so we have a basic little Zoom interview, and we sit there. You know, with some of their previous works, and this gentleman turned out white guy.
Wow.
And right there in Jersey. And I know we said our greetings and whatever. Hush. You hear Carrie?
Oh, Oreo. That's Miss Mills.
Hush.
Oreo, yes. Who's a part of our interview today?
Part of our interview this morning.
Yes,
and so we made our inductions and we had the preliminary, and then I had to say, you do know that we're African American magazine. And he said, yes, and I've been following you, and I like the direction you all are going, and I want to interview before you know, the Broadway scene and things like that. And
yeah,
I asked Christina, I said, what do you think? And she said, well, we'll give them a try.
Wow. Well, listen, let me just tell you, I love it, because as with, like, my talent, you have an eye. And I'm very, very pleased with that. So please, and anybody, now you guys know how we roll in this business. Anybody that we can help as well over here, we have a big need always for content. And you know, Ms. Millie, being in this industry, content is king, you know. So that's what Oreo is saying this morning. Content is king.
No, he's a peanut butter of bone, and he's playing with. So I'm going to move, and what he's playing with is peanut butter bowl, his peanut butter bone.
Wow.
It just reminds me, one of
our wonderful co-hosts, Mr. Michael Hopkins, who I'll be back tomorrow on the show. Yes, well, shouting out Michael Hopkins, who's the host of the Vet Talk radio show. You know, he still does everything for the veterans on behalf of the veterans out there to make sure that they are getting the compensation with their claims filings that they should be, that they're entitled to. Now, let me just say, I'm just going to say, I remember his dog. He used to always bark on the phone when we would be doing me, and it just reminds me so much of Oreo there. So that's what brought Michael to mind, and just giving him a big shout out this morning. So listen, now I've got to say, Miss Millie, I feel like I'm still linked to upscale. Okay, like I said,
when did you stop being linked to upscale?
Exactly. There you go. I love it. I love
we
it.
We just
so
went in two different
forward.
Directions because everybody is just doing something, and it's.
Yes.
So much out there.
But we come back together, though. We come back together. Yeah, we come back together. And when we come back together, we do even more powerful things.
Exactly, because like I said, once you interview Noon, first of all, you're going to love her because she is a true black woman. Her husband is...
Noon
is a C-suite executive, and she's just regular people.
Don't you love that?
But they raised that boy, so that's all I'm going to say.
Wow. Okay. You know what, Miss Miller, you can tease. You are what we call a super teaser on radio. You know exactly how to drop the right tips and hints. To get us into whatever it is going on. So we love that. To getting us, let me just say this, to subscribing to Upscale Magazine. And that's what you guys, I'm going to remind folks that you can get a subscription at Upscale Magazine. So, you know, do what you can to support Upscale Magazine, please. And again, Ms. Millie, please give your website again and just remind folks why it's important that they support. Continue to support. Don't just assume. Because Upscale's been around, you have to continue to offer support. And I'm raising my hand.
What? We're African Americans. We are media outlets. We have 35 years. We have been African Americans. We support the community. It's not like we don't know Carrie Hines and Hair Radio. Really. And since I've been back, that's actually been how we could make all of the changes and corporations that we did, was we reached back all of the great people that we worked with and dealt with. That's how we survive.
Wow.
So, you're still here. Just matter of fact, I sort of need something from you. That's what we're talking.
I am ready. I am ripe and ready. So whatever about
saying. Say some things, and I need you to make me a logo,
Oh, anytime. I love it. Well, now, hold it. I do want to also say that with you guys over at Upscale, you're supporting, of course, the link to Bronner Brothers. And isn't the Bronner Brothers
now,
coming up with
something? Now, the Bronner Brothers show is...
What's going on?
What the brothers did was they tried to move out of Atlanta, which is home, of course. And they went to Miami and New Orleans. New Orleans, they were pretty decent shows. But everybody's used to, after 77 years, are used to being in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's where I went to the Bronner Brothers show down in Atlanta. Yeah. So are they back in Atlanta? Is that what I'm hearing?
In February, they will be from, I think it's the 25th to the 27th.
Oh,
And I will forward you some information as well.
Yeah, please do, because, I have to say, Bronner Brothers is legendary, to put it, mildly. They started this game. They for the black folks, and so we love them, and it means a lot to us. So please, whatever you can do. And don't forget to hook us up with those interviews too. I love it. Okay. Well, now I do want to turn back to what's next for Upscale Magazine. I know you've talked a lot about what's going on, but what else? What would you like to see? If you could just make happen for tomorrow? Or something, anything that you want to share about the direction, about what's next for this long and, enduring publication of Upscale Magazine, which is just incredible.
So what we want to do is just bring all these things that we currently have into fruition. Mm. We have the mobile app that needs to be launched.
Yes.
We have the Upscale TV. We have all of these public relation companies. We have one young lady who got invited to Africa to cover a fashion show. And so we just had a live on IG. You can find a live.
Like a little video clip or something?
Actually, an interview, I don't know if you want to call it, Sanya Richardson. Now, Richard Ross, she's on the Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh,
but she's
on
the Nation. And so she's pregnant. Now, last year on Housewives of Atlanta, unfortunately, she had a miscarriage, and she turned around almost immediately and got pregnant again. And so the baby's due. Actually, the due date is Christmas.
Wow!
And so she came on and did a live interview with Cece, And so that was last week, and they've reached out to us about doing another
really
one as well as probably, you know, they have used the Housewives of Atlanta, you know, the big Martell issue we did last December. Went viral, and
I remember that.
And he was dating one of the housewives of Atlanta, and so we actually got asked to actually do a reenactment of our cover reveal, as well as they asked to use the actual cover on Housewives of Atlanta. So,
That is so beautiful. If I could just get
all of this, answering your question, if I could just get all of this organized and everything and everyone moving in the same direction.
when you find out that wonderful secret to do with that, you please pass it along to me or put it in a bottle and sell it, because we all wonder if we'd be buying that. It's not easy for, especially being a media company, and you know, and like
and
I
then
said,
we're not the largest. We don't have a million, you know, $10 million in the bank, and so I can just put out put it out on the LinkedIn or Indeed that we need this, we need that. No, so this is a step by step process, my brother.
Yes. But listen, let me tell you something. As you guys can hear, you've been doing the work, Miss Millie, and the entire team, and Bernard as well, of course, without saying. So we just want to say we believe in Upscale Magazine. We support Upscale Magazine. And you guys continue again to make sure that you subscribe and do whatever they need out there, because we want Upscale to go another 35
years. And you'll actually get the book delivered directly to you, or you can buy the digital version and just see it online.
Oh, and I'm going to take one of your amazing iconic covers, and we are going to put in our official next issue. And again, I just want to shout out to my team because, again, like I said, we always pay tribute to the folks at Upscale. And again, it's not even something that I would have even thought to even consider had it not been for my tenure over there at Upscale. And you guys are, like I said, you have always been killing it, and you continue to kill it. And I love the colors of the covers. I love the whole magazine.
He does. He is kind of particular about his covers.
Well, you know what? He's absolutely right. I've been introduced to this this thing, and those covers, magazine covers, drive to me. They drive the issue. They drive the interest in the issue. They last forever out there in the world of the internet and all that and beyond. But I want to talk a little bit about Bernard. I love Bernard. He's always a supporter of the shows. I heard he was at Blasting Games show this past weekend over here in the Northeast. I just love all of this. I love it. And he is somebody who really, truly supports the shows. He came out to my show that we had back in the day. He is a supporter of events and this industry. Well, listen, I got to say, the Bronners, they are this industry. So, you know, that's the way it is. So we're shouting out Bernard Bronner. Continued success with Upscale and everything that you and the family are doing. We appreciate you here. Again, Hair Radio, even my Hair Radio show, I have to say, Miss Millie, and I don't know if you remember that story, but, yeah, I wouldn't have even just been – I remember when I first got into this hair business back in 95, and I would just just reading about Madam Walker's great-great-granddaughter, Lilia Bundles, who I've gotten to know and work with, and I would just sit here and dream of the Bronner brothers and –
and all the, you know, Madam Walker's folks and, you know, and just everybody. And then to create a business in which I've been able to meet all of my wonderful dreams in that way and just continue to support the black hair industry has been incredible. And I wouldn't have been able to even to put the period on that, on the end of that, if it not been for me crossing the paths of Bernard Bronner and I have to say the one and only Millie Harrell.
Oh,
so on that,
well, no, yeah. That is, if we don't reach back and support our community, and especially people that are in our universe, in the advertising, you're in advertising, you're in marketing, you're in media.
Yeah.
What good are we?
Yeah.
So there's enough money floating around for everyone.
For everybody.
Yes. So why not share? Call this person, Carrie, or do this. It's not going to hurt me. You know what? What's for me, the Lord's going to give it to me in the store.
Yes, yes.
For me, I just love that. What I'm going to get.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
And nobody can take it away from you. And
for upscale is just that. And so if I can reach and help someone, then, you know, at the end of the day, I want the Lord to say, well done.
Yes. And again,
yes.
I got to take a moment to shout out your team. Can you again give us some of the folks that's helping over there? Anybody, we want to just make sure that that everybody gets the credit, and you do that.
Oh, my God. It's so many. Let's see. CeCe Wilder did the interview, the live interview the other day. Nigel Killikilly is our print
Nigel,
editor.
Yes, I remember him. Oh, wow.
Yes, and then you have Christina, who is Bernard's oldest daughter, who's assisting me on the website, and she is now she's actually a school teacher by education, and she has come to assist us, and so she handles the digital writers, and then we have a new young lady that you don't know. Her name is Amelia Jackson, and she is our social media manager.
Well, I love her name. That's a name, Amelia Jackson. That's a rich sounding.
Yes.
I love it.
Bentley Didier does our cover reveal.
I think I remember him. Yeah, how nice is that? I remember him. Wow.
Yes.
I just love it. I love the team.
So
I mean,
December, we're going to start. We have our cover reveals here in Atlanta every issue, but we're going to expand to 5 cities in December. That'd be D.C.
And I hope New York City is on the list.
New York, Detroit, L.A., as well as Atlanta.
Wow. Well, listen, Miss Millie, of course we're talking with Millie Harrell, the lady, one of the power forces behind Upscale Magazine. And again, upscalemagazine.com is the website. Just doing big things out there. Now, the current issue, again, has Diddy on the cover. But again,
has
you
Diddy
can
on
see
the cover,
so much
yes.
Yes, you can see so much more. And it's, let me tell you something, that cover will stop traffic, literally. And it's just gorgeous. And
it
one
is
of my
a beautiful cover.
You outdid yourself. So, again, Bernard Bronner, good luck out there and continue what you're doing. Millie Harrell, we'll see you back here soon, right, on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
Yes, you will, and I will get noon for you as well.
It sounds
the young
good.
Lady with the
I'm
book.
Loving it. All right. Well, folks, listen.
All right. You be blessed, and we love
again,
you.
Yes, we'll talk to you soon, Ms. Millie. Thanks again for being our guest today.
Thank
All right.
you.
Okay.
Thank
you. You got it. You got it. Okay, folks, we'll see you back here tomorrow from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern for the next edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We have a very special guest joining us in the Spotlight Hour. It's been a great show. Thanks so much for being with us. Here's our outro.
It's time again to bring today's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close.